The show that's all hockey. The Shaw's Star Market Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, and Bob Beers.
Presented by Shaw's at Star Market. Download the Shaw's app or Star Market app and save today. Also brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services, Sports Etc., Devlin Solar, and Mass General Brigham.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Welcome in to another edition of the Shaw's and Star Market Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Ryan Johnston here with you all by myself in the room today, but we will not be alone for very long because we are going to be checking in with both Bob Beers and Judd Surratt here in the first hour from down in New Jersey where the Bruins play a matinee today against the Devils. We also are going to hear in the second hour from Billy Jaffe, of course, and Bob Sweeney is going to check in with us around 10:20 from the Bruins Foundation, talking about some of the great things that they've got going on, including that stick auction to benefit the Colby Cave Foundation. So we'll get to all of that coming up as well, and we will welcome in your phone calls at 617-779-0985. The Bruins hoping to bounce back from their loss to the Oilers on Thursday night. That is where we are going to start as we welcome in Bob Beers on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good morning, Beersy.
Morning, Ryan. How are we doing?
Doing all right. What did you think of the game overall on Thursday? We're going to get to a lot of kind of, you know, Bruce Cassidy's reaction to it and some of the things we've seen from this team of late. Overall, what did you think of the way the team approached the game on Thursday?
Well, I mean, parts of it were fine, right? I mean, but it's the things that are bothering Bruce Cassidy that kind of overshadowed it. I mean, the first thing that bothered me was the fact that, you know, you get two leads in the first, one lead in the first period, one lead in the second period, and within 30 seconds to a minute, you're allowing Edmonton on the very next shift to come back and tie the game. So, you know, you get a 1-0 lead, you get a 2-1 lead, and Edmonton comes back and ties it. So, you know, I didn't like the reaction there. And then certainly, you know, with a 3-2 lead going into the third period, I mean, a lot of people can point to Brandon Carlo's turnover, wrong guy to turn it over to there in Draisaitl. And then the coverage issue is after an icing call, a coverage issue, you know, down low that leads to the next goal. So the tying goal and the goal that got them the 4-3 lead, those were tough to take, you know, because that was a very winnable game, right? I mean, you're playing against a team that has, you know what they have. You know how good their top-end guys are, and they're going to get their opportunities. And you try to limit those opportunities, but the reaction I mean, Ryan, they're searching for answers right now from anything past their top line to see what, you know, what is there. And right now it's not answering those questions. They're not good right now. They need to be a lot better.
We're just 11 games into the season. I mean, there's a long way to go. So we're dealing with a, you know, fairly small sample size, but it felt to me like Thursday night, Bruce Cassidy was about as frustrated as I think I've ever seen him. Yep. You know, in speaking after the game, he took a lot on the coaching staff. He just said, you know, our message obviously isn't getting through. We got to find different ways to do it. But it felt to me like, you know, he's almost feels like he's banging his head against the wall because they're having these same problems over and over and over again. And it's for whatever reason, these guys aren't figuring it out.
No, I mean, you could see it or hear it in his voice, I should say. He was it's as frustrated as I've seen him in a long, long time, maybe ever. And the way that he was trying to phrase his questions, I mean, he put it on his coaching staff that says that, you know, we've got to make sure that these guys are better prepared. But, you know, you can't make them shoot the puck. You can't make them, you know, the plays that are there to be made. I just think that they're trying to get way too cute right now. And he kind of referenced that. He said, we're not good enough to be making those plays right now. You know, I think with the top line, you kind of give them a lot more rope and allow them to try to play through it because they've done it before and they're the ones that are producing. But once you get beyond that, I mean, you know, simplifying the game, straight lines, you know, getting to the net. I just, you know, it's kind of a cliche when things aren't going well. How do we get, you know, our message across? Well, you play a straight line, you know, kind of ugly game and get some greasy goals and all of a sudden things start to open up for you. And I'm sure that that's part of what they're preaching right now from some of the guys, you know, even with the top line, but I think more so with the second and third lines.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the middle six. You know, look, there's some, you know, there's new faces mixed in there in Foligno and Halla, and, you know, even Taylor Hall hasn't been here all that long. Are they still trying to figure out what works with those guys? Is it going to work with those guys? Do they have the talent level that they need to be successful long-term with the guys that they've got right now in the middle six?
I mean, they've done it before, right? I mean, it's not like they've never done it. So have they done it with the Bruins? Not as much. Well, Foligno's been hurt, so that's kind of a, you know, that's a tough example. He just got back in. He hit the post the other day. Craig Smith was playing through an injury, so that's a tough one right there. So those are your two right wingers on the bottom six, or excuse me, the middle six. You know, we were asking at the beginning of the season, how is Hall and Charlie Coyle going to pan out? You know, can these guys play together and be productive? And I still am not sure if that's the case, if they can be, you know, as a pairing on the, we'll call it the second line, right? You know, they've shown glimpses. I thought Hall, maybe after the first period, was more engaged than, you know, than he's been in the last several games. I thought he was good last game, you know, and now, you know, can him and Coyle form a good partnership on that line? Halla has really struggled. I mean, there's no question about it. He's struggled this season. He's had some good opportunities to score. He hasn't been able to do it. And then the last few games, he really hasn't been all that noticeable. I think he played under 10 minutes last game. And that's your third line center to go along with DeBrusk and X over on the right, depending on how they're going to, you know, throw the lines out there today. I know they called up Steen, see where he goes in as your right shot. So we'll see what happens here today. They're playing against a New Jersey team that's won a few straight, and they've simplified their game, and really the compete level has been up, and that's what they're looking for right now from that second, third line, and, you know, to try to get them generated more chances and get them going offensively.
When they put this team together over the offseason and they were making moves to, you know, kind of fill what holes they had in the roster, do you think that they envision Coyle as the number two and Hall as the number three center? Or, you know, were they counting on Krejci to be back and it just kind of worked out that they both got bumped up a slot?
I don't know. I can't answer that. I'm not sure. My guess is they had a pretty good idea that Krejci wasn't coming back, and they were hoping that either Hall or Coyle would be that second line center and step into that role, or Jack Studnicka would step into that role. And that just, it, you know, I think Coyle's been okay this year. I just don't know if he fits well with Taylor Hall. Mm-hmm. So I mean, Coyle's actually played well. I mean, but he's a guy that holds on to the puck and protects it. And I'm saying that as a compliment. You know, he gets into the zone. He's big and he's strong, you know, but is he a good fit with Taylor Hall? I don't know. Hall was a really good fit with Krejci, especially, you know, after in the regular season, after he got picked up, even in the first round, you know, against Washington, I thought they were a good fit. They ran into a tougher defense against the Islanders. So where are they right now? You know, Smith was hurt at the beginning of the season, so we said, okay, well, let's wait until Smith gets back and has played a few games and has gotten away from his injury and see how they come together. Well, now Smith moves to a different line, and you know you move Foligno onto that line, and Foligno's been hurt and he's just getting back. So it's they're always looking for that right winger, but now they're looking for centers and right wingers, and they're still searching for it. You know, it's been there in times this year, but they need a lot more of it, and they need more consistency from it. And then even the top line, you know, like, you know, Pastrnak struggled a little bit here in the early going. He started to pick it up here recently. You know, he scores the other day. He had a couple assists a couple games ago. So, okay, now that top line is starting to produce, but you still need it from some other lines.
You mentioned, you know, how Smith has been battling through an injury in the early part of the season, and Bruce Cassidy kind of, you know, says that's what's impacted his production most likely. But he did bump him down to the third line and put Foligno on that second line the other night. And I thought it was interesting to kind of hear the reasons why, and a lot of it had to do, it sounded like, with kind of Foligno's approach to the game and his personality on the ice, hoping that he can give Coyle and Hall, he said, are both, you know, good players, but they're quiet players. Give them a little bit more juice on that line. Give them a little bit more energy. Do you think there's something to that?
I think he's searching. I really do. I don't know how much there is to that, but he's searching. And you're talking about Bruce Cassidy. I mean, they're searching to find production right now, and they're going to try, you know, whatever they can to try to get things going. And if that's the reason that he's using, okay. But I just think that they're trying to catch a spark somehow, some way. And yeah, you know, I'm curious to see where Steen plays today. You know, if he's been good down in Providence and he's up here now, he played earlier in the season, one or two games, but now, you know, he's up here and they're searching for something on those middle two lines. So, you know, I would expect him to be somewhere in that, you know, in that area here today. And what, you know, who do they sit out? You know, do they sit out one of the, you know, do they sit out a Holla, but then who plays center, right? You know, so there's some different things that they could do here today. And I'm curious, you know, what we'll find out when we get over to the arena here in an hour or so, but, you know, see exactly how the lineup is going to look.
Yeah, they've tinkered with that in a number of different ways, including earlier this week. They even put Studnik over on the wing, which is something that they had been hesitant to do. Were you surprised at that?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I mean, they're trying. You know, they're trying to figure it out, and they haven't yet. So, you know, Studnik is going to be here. He's not going to play on the fourth line, and he's not going to play on the first line. So he's got to play somewhere in the second and third line. And, you know, does he play center? Does he play wing? And, you know, he didn't have – I mean, he had a pretty good preseason. Good, not fantastic, but good preseason, and it just hasn't translated. And so, you know, get him down in Providence, let him play some games, let him try to, you know, rekindle some of that confidence. I don't know if that's what's bothering him or not, but let him get some of that. And then when maybe the time is right, whether there's injuries or whatever the timing is, you know, you can call him back up and see how he plays. But right now, they're still searching. And, you know, so today it's Steen, and he's been the hottest guy down in Providence. So we'll see how he does. And I assume he's going to be in. If they're calling him up, you know, but I don't know. I think that they are really searching, and, you know, we could see a number of different looks here today.
Bob Beers is joining us from down in New Jersey, where the Bruins take on the Devils today. We will continue with him, and we will get to some of your thoughts on the Bruins here as we move along as well. 617-779-0985 here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The show that's all hockey. The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
100%. So I got to do a better job because obviously the mistakes we made, line changes, and puck management's a little bit different. I mean, you know, how we broke pucks out. Like, when a team beats itself, you know, that's on us as a staff. We got to do a better job getting them ready to play and understand the details, what it takes to win, the lack of not shooting. 100% on us. So we just got to get that message across because we're not good enough to make some of the plays we're trying to make. So that's on us to make sure we're playing the right way, the best chance we have to win. Again, another good team found a way to beat us in crunch time. So at some point, it's not by accident anymore. So we got to do a better job.
Some of Bruce Cassidy's comments after the Bruins loss on Thursday night, as we welcome you back here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston joined on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline by Bruins analyst Bob Beers. He and Judd Surratt will be on the call today when the Bruins take on the New Jersey Devils. Duncan pregame at 12:30, face-off around 1 o'clock today. Bruce Cassidy talked in that postgame press conference, Bob, about beating yourselves, and he said some of it's respect for the game of freaking hockey is the way he put it. And he talked about, you know, who you're playing against and how to play the right way and respect for the game. What does that mean to you as a former player when he talks about things like that and what he's seeing from this team right now?
I think maybe the cheating. And when I say cheating, you know, you just the little things that it takes to win games just aren't there nearly enough. And, you know, he referenced a couple of specifics, right? The line changes. I mean, there was a bad line change that led to the first goal. There was a bad line change that led to a great opportunity from Connor McDavid in the second period. I think he hit the post on it. There were, you know, instances where, you know, just I think that just some of the little things were lacking in that game. And it's not just one game. I think, you know, some of the losses that they've had this year, you know, you look at some of them and there's different things you can point to. I mean, I looked at that Carolina game in Carolina where I thought the Bruins played a pretty good game in that one. They couldn't score. Freddie Anderson shut them out. And they had, you know, they lose 2-0. But they played the game the right way. I look at the game in Florida where, you know, they competed. They were the better team in the first period. The second period, they fell apart. And then the third period, they were better again. You know, so it was a period that did them in that one. There's little things that are happening right now that are, and they can't outscore their mistakes in most instances. You know, they're beating teams that they should beat. Okay. They didn't play great against Ottawa the other day, especially in the first period. The first period was ugly, and then they got better as the game went on. But, you know, you're up against an Edmonton team that you know that can hurt you in certain ways, and they're going to get their chances. You understand that, mm-hmm. right? Whether it's Dreisaitl or McDavid, you just can't give them their chances. And I think that was what was kind of frustrating. I mean, you hand Dreisaitl a puck, you give McDavid a great opportunity because of a bad line change. You know, so there's different things that kind of occurred, and that's, you know, you've got to be respectful of how things need to be done in order to be successful. And I think that's kind of the message he's also trying to get across. And the fact that him and his coaching staff kind of took the sword, right, in that one, he's saying it's on us. But it's not. it's on the players. And, you know, he can say that, and you know, he may even believe part of that, and I'm sure it is partly true, but it's still on the players to be able to go out and do the job.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel like, you know, Bruce Cassidy and his staff miss on a lot of details, right, or are giving these guys the wrong messages in the room. It's, you know, at some point, if the players are making mistakes out on the ice, there's only so much you can do about it. You know, but case in point, you mentioned the Tuesday night game against Ottawa where they didn't play great. Taylor Hall ends up getting benched for the, you know, most of the second half of that third period after he takes a bad penalty in a game where they're ahead. And
well, he also turned the puck over in the first period that led to the first goal, right?
Right.
You know, that was a bad turnover off the wall that leads to a goal. So it wasn't just for the penalty, and I thought the penalty was weak anyhow. You know, Brännström, you know, you put yourself in the position by reaching like he did, but it was a weak call. I mean, it's one hand on the stick and Brännström, you know, clamps down on the stick and, you know, stumbles a little bit. So it was I actually thought it should have been both guys called. If you're going to call one, it should have been both, but they didn't. And it's an offensive zone penalty, you know, when you've got a lead. So I think it was a lead at the time.
Yes.
You know, and Sadnika took a penalty in the offensive zone in the same game. But I think it was, you know, it was the penalty, but it was also, you know, turning a puck over a couple of occasions where he turned the puck over, and one of them that led to a goal. So, you know, look, you need more. You need more from a guy like that. And I thought that maybe after the first period the other day that he gave more. I thought he was involved and engaged a lot more in that game against Edmonton.
Let's grab a quick call before we let Beersy go here. Tim in the car is up first. What's up, Tim?
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. I don't want to get off the path you're on here with the discussion, but when I look at the Bruins roster and they've had to sign over the last 2 years to bring in Smith, Holla, Nosek, Foligno, and it just seems to me they're bringing in mediocre third and fourth line players from other teams because they don't have that pipeline in the system where they have their own players who they've developed who could be introduced to the roster every 2 years, basically, and who they could develop and who are dynamic presences. And I'm talking particularly on the forward ranks because when I look at the Bruins, they don't have any dynamic forwards outside of Pasternak, who are in their mid-20s, and that falls back on Sweeney in his and him and his team's inability to draft and develop quality young talent and bring them along every couple of years. And I think that's the biggest problem with the team. This team is mediocre. And, yeah, okay, so they get to the playoffs. Maybe they win a first-round playoff game. Well, they're getting bounced in the second round again. And I think, you know, Sweden's inability to do that aspect of his job, which has to be the most important aspect of his job, is one of the reasons why, you know, you guys are having this tenor of a conversation that you're having about what they're doing, right. Like Bruce saying, making mistakes, you know, and not respecting the game.
I appreciate the call, Tim. I mean, look, at this point, it's a fair criticism. I mean, you don't have a lot of homegrown talent below that top line that's making a big impact on this team right now.
He's spot on, Ryan.
Yeah.
Even so, you look at, you know, Coyle's your second line center. He was brought in via trade. Hollow, third line center. He's brought in via free agency. Nosek brought in via free agency. He's your fourth line center. You know, where are the centers that, you know, you're hoping that would step up? They drafted Frederick in the first round. I know that Beecher's playing for Michigan. He's a centerman that they're hoping for, but they haven't been able to, you know, fill those roles. And Studnicka was a second rounder that hasn't stepped in and, you know, gotten to the point where they can play him on an everyday basis here in the NHL. And even the same thing with the D. I mean, it is true. I mean, you spent first round picks on Zboril and Vaakanainen, and neither of these guys have panned out. You know, Zboril's on the team, but he's a seventh defenseman right now. He's played a couple of games, I think, but you know, he hasn't played much, and they haven't panned out. So yeah, there's big holes there. And, you know, who have they developed? You know, you mentioned Pastrnak. And Pastrnak, Marchand, Bergeron, they're all homegrown, right? They're all draft picks. And then once you get beyond that, you know, especially in your second, third, fourth lines, you know, who am I missing? If Frederick, who's not in the lineup
You got DeBrusk,
yeah,
you know, and Bleed are basically the only two guys that were in the lineup the other night beyond the top
and
line.
On D, it's McAvoy, Carlo, Grizzlick, right? You know, Clifton, I think, was brought in. He was signed as a free agent, but he hadn't played for anybody else. So, I mean, there's holes there. There's no question. And, you know, I look down the middle, and that's where it kind of starts. You know, you had Krejci for years, and everybody, you know, beat on Krejci because he was making $7 million, and now, you know, he's not there, and all of a sudden, you know, you realize how much you miss. So there's areas right now that they're, you know, trying to fix, and it's, you know, whether it's the D core as a group and whether it's the middle six forwards trying to produce, there's still one game above 500. And you know how it goes, Ryan, when we have our shows on Saturday, if they win a couple of games during the week, everything's rosy. And if they lose a couple of games, it's, oh my God, the sky's falling. So right now they're still trying to figure it out. They're up one game above 500. You win one, you lose one. That's kind of been the way it's been going here recently. But there's been games that are very winnable that they've left on the table.
Just quickly before we let you go, what do you expect out of the game today? What kind of team is New Jersey?
I think they're hardworking. I think that they've got some believability in that locker room. I mean, they're without a couple real good players, and Hughes, who's out, and they're missing and Miles Wood, who's a Bruins killer over the years. He's had some really good games against the Bruins. He's out right now with an injury. You know, I have to look a little deeper dive when we get over to the arena here today. But that's, you know, they've won, I think, three in a row, and you know, they've got that believability. They just shut out the New York Islanders the other day, so. They're believing in Lindy Ruff, and they're playing like it. So it's a game. The Metro Division's tough right now. They're every team, I believe, is above 500 in the Metro, or at least 500 in the Metro. So they're finding ways to get points and finding ways to get wins. And that makes it, I know it's really early in the season, 10, 12 games, 14 games in, whatever it is now for the Bruins. I think it's 11 for the Bruins, but, that, you know, you start to see teams kind of separate a little bit, and you realize, you know, making the playoffs, if the Metro is going to be this tough through the entire season, there's only going to be three teams that make it in the Atlantic.
Right.
Right. And you expect Florida to be there, even though they dropped a couple recently, you expect Tampa to be there. And then it's, you know, Toronto, Boston, and I know Detroit's had a good start. I don't know if they're going to last there, but, you know, it's going to be tough to make the playoffs. You better start piling up some points and some wins right now.
Bearsy, appreciate the time as always. Look forward to you guys on the call today, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right, Ryan. Thank you.
Bob Beers joining us from New Jersey on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Quickly, let's get to Who's Heating Up on the Ice, brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Go to rodenheiser.com today to book your annual heating system check and keep your home warm all season long. We'll give it to David Pastrnak, I think, this week. He's starting to find it after a bit of a slow start, struggled out of the gate. But 2 goals, 3 assists in 3 games this week, 5 points. Hopefully a sign of good things to come from Pasta. I know he misfired on that one that he was really down on himself after Thursday night's game because he missed on that what looked like a sure thing. But those are going to start going in for him, and he's going to look like the guy that we expect. We will be joined by Judd Surratt from New Jersey coming up next, and we'll get to more of your calls at 617-779-0985 here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Listening to the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, they both needed to pass the puck up the ice, play north. Again, on us as a staff, we talked about that after the first period, that we need to, in order to beat a fast team, you got to move the puck forward. There's certain areas that how they forecheck. Obviously, the message didn't get through. We have to do a better job.
Back here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on a Saturday morning. We take you up until 11 o'clock. Thanks again to Bob Beers for joining us in our first couple of segments. We are here to take your calls at 617-779-0985. And joining us now from down in North Jersey is Judd Surratt, play-by-play voice of the Bruins across the Bruins radio network. He'll have the call alongside Beersy today, starting with the pregame at 12:30. What's going on this morning, Judd?
Not much. Jersey's never looked better.
Are you getting the nice aroma of North Jersey from where you guys are staying? Because that's always my favorite part of driving up and down the Jersey Turnpike, is you get that wonderful sense of where exactly you are, even if you didn't know.
Well, not necessarily from driving down the highway, but I got up early this morning, took a walk to go grab a little bit of breakfast. And here in this part of the country, they leave the garbage on the street because there are no alleys here in New Jersey. So you could definitely get a waft of a few different smells as you were getting breakfast.
Plus, you get that just kind of overwhelming, like if you're in a certain area, you get that overwhelming kind of industrial toxic waste, kind of hanging in the air. It's really a wonderful part of the country.
I'll make sure that I inhale before I walk into the Prudential Center, because that's that part of New Jersey is a little closer to the arena.
What do you make of the way this team is playing right now? And we played a little bit more of Bruce Cassidy coming back from the break and some of his frustration after Thursday, but that wasn't just born out of Thursday's game. I mean, 11 games into the season, he clearly doesn't like some of the trends that he has seen with this team so far.
I think that's understandable. So Ryan, the other day after practice, I pulled aside one of the players and we had a conversation. I said, give me your take on the first 10 games. And he said, it's complicated. And I think that's basically what we've seen here through the first 11 games, whether it's some of the issues with puck management that I think Bruce Cassidy was talking about, penalties at inopportune times, guys that have not found their way on lines 2 and 3 here at the start of the season, injuries in and out. I think they've got a number of different things that they're dealing with at this point. And I go back to what Bill Parcells used to say: you are what your record says you are, and they're a game over 500.
It's good to see that they're putting in terms of like a Facebook relationship status, right? It's complicated, but it is. You know, and look, I think there's still some unknowns with this team as far as, you know, where some guys fit, whether some guys are going to be able to produce some of the new faces. You know, we haven't really seen a whole lot of Nick Foligno so far because of the injury. Bruce Cassidy talked about Craig Smith's been dealing with an injury, so he hasn't exactly been 100%, and that's hurt him. And we talked with Beersey about Eric Halla and these guys that haven't seen production yet. Obviously, the hope is that it will come for each of those guys and will come fairly quickly. But we just don't know right now where exactly it's all going to fit, and are those pieces all going to fit together to make a real contending team this year?
I think that's certainly a valid point. The other thing that I think about, Ryan, is the way that the Bruins defend, and that's essentially the bedrock of the team. That's their identity of the team. And let's take the other night against the Edmonton Oilers. Whether you like the call on Brad Marchand in the third period or not, that was a penalty. Mm-hmm. That helped the Oilers generate some momentum in the period. We've touched on some of the puck management issues that the Bruins have had. And I think where Bruce Cassidy was talking about the respect for the game, that's playing the time and the score. In the third period, that puck's got to be going north. And you have to understand who's on the ice on any given time. And certainly with Draisaitl and McDavid, right now there are two players. There's nobody that are more dangerous than those two on the ice at this point. But I think, you know, it goes from the goaltender on out. Now, we're going to see Jeremy Swayman here today. And other than his outing against the Philadelphia Flyers, he's been solid for the team. He's got a 2.22 goals against average. Hopefully he can extend and make it wins in four of his first six games. But at times, the Bruins have needed an extra save. They needed it the other night against Linus Ullmark. They somehow got it from a shaky Mikko Koskinen in the third period. But I think it's a lot of different things. And then to go back to the other point about being complicated, so you brought in a lot of new guys, and I think a lot of those guys are still figuring out the way the Bruins play without the puck.
Just because we haven't mentioned it yet, and you mentioned his name, but how exciting is Connor McDavid to watch in person? I mean, you watch that game the other night. It's like it makes me wish that he were in a bigger market, that he were, you know, playing in the East somewhere where he would get some more exposure from a national perspective, because there just aren't guys like that that make you, that have you on the edge of your seat every time they're on the ice like him.
No disrespect to Leon Draisaitl, but every time Connor McDavid steps on the ice and grabs the puck, it is something that I have never, ever seen before in the National Hockey League. I had a conversation with Jake DeBrusk about this the other day about his skating, because he and Jake have had an opportunity during the summers to skate together. And he said at 80%, he's just as fast or faster than everybody in the National Hockey League. And his ability to go from 80 to 100 is just exceptional. It's like watching a Lamborghini or even a dragster on the ice, watching him go down the ice. And I noticed that John Tortorella the other day made mention that maybe Connor McDavid has to change his game when the playoffs hit, that he needs to be more responsible. Now, I didn't see all of the comments from John Tortorella, but with respect to that, I did not see a guy who was playing an irresponsible game of hockey under Dave Tippett. I saw a few times the other night, he was not only was he back defensively to disrupt Bruins' offensive chances, but as soon as the puck was turned over, he was charging over the line. It was like there was a sonic boom going on at TD Garden as he was flying down the ice, and somehow he was denied scoring a goal.
It's just, you know, we talked on the show last week about that goal that he had scored against the Rangers, which is still getting replayed, you know, every single day. You know, is a lot of people are saying goal of the year, goal of the decade kind of thing. But it just, that's what really jumps out at you, is just his ability to make everyone on the ice look like they're standing still.
It's exceptional. The other thing, Ryan, that Jake DeBrusk mentioned, he said when Connor McDavid gets going with the puck, and maybe a quick aside, there are some guys who are fast and their hands cannot necessarily keep up with their feet, or at the same time, they can't think the game, so their hands and feet work in concert. He's able to do that. So it's just exceptional to see. I almost thought we were going to see something like that as he carried the puck across the Bruins line. It was a one-on-two as he was darting down the middle. I think that's when he rang one off the post in the second period. But DeBrusk had mentioned, he said, when McDavid gets going, you either haul him down or you get lucky. That's basically what it comes down to.
Judd Surratt joining us from down in New Jersey as the Bruins get ready to take on the Devils this afternoon. He's joining us on a very clear Volkswagen dealers expert hotline. Let's grab a couple of calls with Judd while we've got him here. Maria in Watertown is holding. Hi, Maria.
Good morning, everyone. I'm a little late to the party this morning, but hopefully I can be forgiven.
That's all right. That's all right. Sometimes we're all a little slow getting going on a Saturday morning sometime.
Yes, yes, yes. So here's my one comment is that, you know, I'm a little bit happy to hear Bruce Cassidy have called himself out and his coaching staff out the other night because, you know, I know I've said it on this airways before, but I'm not particularly a fan of the calling out of players on a regular recurring basis. And I have a concern that, you know, at some point that could potentially backfire on you. So I'm glad to see that he threw himself into that mix because, you know, I think they do need to bear coaching staff some responsibility when a team, you know, may not be coming out on time. And I think that's been happening a bit to the Bruins. The other concerns I have, and maybe you gentlemen can touch upon this, is, you know, Brad Marchand seems to be deferring on taking shots when he has an opportunity to take shots in order to set Pasta up for that one timer. And I'm wondering if some of that is due to the fact that because they're struggling offensively at the other lines, if maybe that line is feeling like they needing to do more. But, you know, if he has an opportunity to take a shot, I'd like to see him take that shot because he is skilled enough. We know he has the talent to pop goals in the net. The other thing I have a concern about, gentlemen, is Charlie McAvoy and Brandon Carlo. I really would like to see them stepping up and playing like a 1-2 top pairing defenseman, particularly Brandon Carlo. I don't understand what the hesitancy continues to be with this defenseman not utilizing the size, skill, and talent that he has on a regular basis. So those are my thoughts. Thanks for the time, as always. Have a great day.
All right. Appreciate the call, Maria. As far as the shooting point of that goes, Judd, I think that's something that has infected its way through a lot of the roster. I think, you know, I think that was part of the point that Butchie was making the other night was, you know, when he says we're not good enough to make some of the plays that we're trying to make, he's looking for guys to put puck on the net and stop trying to make that extra pass.
I haven't necessarily seen what she's talking about with Marchand, who's got 6 goals here in the first 11 games. Again, I know it's a smaller sample size, but if you do that across an 82-game season, that comes out to a 40-goal season. So I haven't necessarily seen that group overpass. But I think part of the problem here early on for the Bruins is that they've generated plenty of rush chances, but their inability to execute on those chances has really hampered them. So I think at that point, that's what Bruce Cassidy and the coaching staff, they're trying to urge. All right, well, if we're having a problem, A, completing a pass on a 2-on-1 or hitting a net when we decide to shoot, then maybe we need to simplify it. Put that puck in a position on net where somebody else can maybe grab a rebound and create some anxiety for the defensive team. I think that has to happen more often. The Bruins offense right now heading into today's action is 23rd in the National Hockey League. They're getting chances, but they are not executing and making the right decisions on those chances.
From the defensive standpoint, you know, you look at that game on Thursday night and Carlo obviously make some, you know, kind of a nightmare third period for him. Up to that point, he hadn't played a bad game at all, actually, considering who he was matched up against for much of that game. I thought he had managed to avoid disaster. And then, you know, that the glaring errors come out, obviously, and that's what everybody focuses on. But you know, I don't think I can have too much of an issue with the way that they've, you know, the defensive groups have fared this year. I think they've done a pretty good job by and large.
So Brandon Carlo admitted after the game that was probably the worst period that he's ever had in his National Hockey League career. So let's see how he responds. I think that that's one of the things that Beersey had mentioned right after the turnover, after you tried to go D to D and Leon Draisaitl scooped it up and scored the tying goal. So how do you respond? So let's see what that response looks like this afternoon here in New Jersey. What does it look like tomorrow against the Montreal Canadiens? He's a key piece for you. But I think how the Bruins manage the puck, not just him, but as a group, is something that we're going to have to watch here in the next two games.
Is it a fair criticism of Brandon Carlo that he's not physical enough for his size?
You know what? He is not a guy that's going to drill people and run people through the boards. But I think what you want to do is you want to use that size with some conviction. And I think we have seen that at times this year, his ability to step up either at the blue line or step up in the neutral zone, finish or eliminate guys. I think that he has been able to use that, use his size, use his reach, but I don't think that he is wired like a guy like Kevin Miller. So I think it's not fair to think that he should play along that vein. You want him to use his size to his advantage, but he doesn't have to drive guys through the boards in the glass.
All right, Judd, before we let you go, if you're Bruce Cassidy and you're approaching the game today and just going forward, after what we've seen for the first 11 games, what's your ultimate answer for the second and third lines and how to get these guys going and producing? Because this team is going nowhere if some of those guys don't start putting the puck in the net.
I was thinking about this the other day because Dave Tippett, the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, was talking about heading into Boston and how his team needed to play a simple, smart road game. Nothing fancy. You're here in New Jersey. You're playing against a team that is young, feisty, and fast. Put pucks on net, drive pucks deep, make them defend, make them turn. That's what you want. So I think that, you know, what are we going to see on those second and third lines? That's going to be interesting. With my guess is that it's going to stay Hall and Coyle in the middle. What do you put on the right side there? Is it good? I know they practiced with Nick Foligno there yesterday and they had Craig Smith on the third line. If you insert a guy like Oscar Steen, which of those spots is he going to go in? And what does that then trigger in your lineup on lines two and three? But I think overall, I think the overarching thing for the Bruins has to be playing a simple, smart, honest road game. There's a way teams win on the road in the National Hockey League, and the Bruins have to take that to heart today.
Judd Surratt will be on the call alongside Bob Beers, 12:30 pregame, 1 o'clock faceoff here on the Sports Hub. Thanks for joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Make sure that you give your Uber driver 5 stars on the way over to the rink, okay?
You got it. Thanks, Ryan.
All right. We will continue with another hour still to go. Don't forget, we got Bob Sweeney from the Bruins Foundation is going to join us at 10:20 this morning, and then Billy Jaffe will be with us in his normal slot at around 10:35 as well. So, calls, this is the time to get them in between now and the next 20 minutes or so. 617-779-0985. We will get to your calls right after headlines here. And we're going to give you a little something to take home today as well. Caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, which is different, 617-931-0985. We'll score a $100 gift card for Sports Etc., Boston's best hockey shop. Find them at 1303 Mass Ave in Arlington or online at sportsetc.net. So 617-931-0985 to pick up that $100 Sports Etc. gift card. We will continue another hour still to go on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.